Advantage. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hey, Alex Simmons, it's a summer episode. Tell the damn story.
Love these summer episodes. Chris, you're there. Oh, Chris. Nice shirt.
Nice shirt for you too, sir.
Yes,
I love that. We're here just enjoying a nice, relaxing, beautiful summer episode. Tell the damn story. Nothing to worry about. No tension.
Yeah.
No surprises.
Whoa.
No pressure. What? Wait a minute. What's the matter, Alex
no
Simmons?
No tension. No worries. But there is a big surprise. I hit Chris yesterday. I said, Chris, I got something that I think we should do. And he said, what? I said, no, Chris, I'm going to lay it on you when we start recording. Here we go. So Chris and I, for years, especially if you've been following the series, you know, we like to do a lot of how-to episodes. How do we do this? How do we do that? How does other people do it? Even the ones that we interview, we ask them, how do you approach creative writing? How do you approach storytelling? All that kind of stuff. And we constantly share methodologies that we have developed or been taught over the years that have worked for us. But I think that every now and then we should put our skills where our mouths are. And really sort of prove it, you know, or at least attempt to prove it, how well it goes, by putting ourselves out there, you know, in the public eye and show them how the method works in a particular situation. So I'm thinking, because we did something like this, maybe 3 years ago, where, Chris, you may remember this, we pitched ideas back and forth, and we developed those ideas and eventually had to write a short story based on those ideas, right?
Yeah, now, as a matter of fact, if we go back to the roots of Tell the Damn Story, when the legendary Tim Fielder was here.
Oh, yeah, TF.
One very famous episode. To me and you, and maybe Tim, he had us throw out ideas for details of a drawing that he did during the episode, and he completed the drawing during the episode, and then he turned around and sprung it on us. All right, one of you have to write the story.
Yeah, which and you did.
I did. I begged for it, which is how I usually have to approach blackjack stories. Please, Mr. Alex, please. And that is to this day, that is the freebie you get. If you want to check out blackjack without spending money, you get to read that story. Where can they find that?
You can find that actually on the blackjack website. And actually, I'll put a link in the comments.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah,
if I ever finish my website, it'll be on there too. But
he's building it, you know, microbyte by microbyte.
Yeah. We have a house across from us. It's been getting built for 4 years now, and my website is apparently in competition.
Keep track with that.
Yeah. It's because it's me. I'm the one building it, so it's all my fault.
But in this episode, folks, you're going to see how Chris and I work on concepts and ideas and come up with what has, you know, over the years has proven to be what we do, which is stories. You know, you've done scripts and books and articles, and I've done similar things. So ultimately, this is going to be an example of how it works, and hopefully it works really, really well. Okay, so what I did, Chris, is I went on Facebook. And I requested of some of my Facebook fans or friends to give us a 1 to 3 word prompt for an idea for a story, right? Or an article, right? So I'm now going to go to Facebook. Folks, I have not looked ahead of time and read any of these, and I'm now going to go to Facebook and I'm going to pull it up, right? And I'm going to see what they left for us.
Okay, now, hold on. Now, how do we, so you're going to assign, all right, this next one is going to be for you. And, or you're going to give us am I going to have a menu to choose from? What am I getting myself into? How are you handling this?
Why are you nervous? Why are you nervous?
What?
You know, to quote Indiana Jones.
What's that mean?
Who we mentioned in our last episode, to quote Indiana, I don't know, I'm making this up as I go along.
Right.
So the reality for me is I'm going to see the list. You're going to see the list.
Okay.
And we can do this. We can make this decision right now. We can either, quote unquote, I can assign, but I think take some of the fluidity out of it. So I think we should see the list and grab what.
Claim one. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So can you put it up on screen? Is that the idea?
Yes. I'm going to. Yeah. Well, let me get to the list now.
I'm not nervous. I just want you to know I'm not nervous.
All right, and I'll share the screen because, like I said, I don't really know what to expect. So here, let's go share. I've opened up the page.
Now, we don't just, if something's offensive,
this could
it's
be,
not
this
awful.
This could work well, folks, or really, really bad. But here we go.
Okay. Someone wrote, get a job. What is that?
No. Okay, so here we go. Here's what I said. I said, hey, folks, I need some 1 to 3 word idea prompts for something a friend and I are doing. Examples, and I gave him some examples. It's dead, hose, sky blue sneakers, satin, deep knee scars. These were examples that I gave. Could you please suggest a few here right now? So this is what we, there's like 10 more. Here we go.
I know which one I like so far, but okay.
Well, let's just roll down the list for to start, just so people have a chance to deal with this. We've got powerful purpose, bouncy banana. Cool customers, infected, swelling unnaturally, thicker than water. Oh, wow. Okay. Thank you, Tom. Wolf Hansen says, it won't open. Force perspective. And then it says, see more. So here we go. Round cubes. I'm thinking a little Avengers there. Steam rising unexpectedly, unholy tangled mess, black duffel bag. Disturbing loud sounds, chocolate ice cream soda. Ooh, I like that. Let's go, tidal basin, fork tender. So that's just the first few. Let's just jump now to, look at this. Like I said, this could work. My own reflection, food is love, time to play, no one noticed. Ooh, I like that. Caution ahead. Yellow fog rising. Ooh, I like that one too. Put that down. Don't scratch. Let's hope this is going to be. Oh yeah, good. It's G-rated. Be the ball. Where's your brother? That's not clean. You should have a jar of these, man. Shaking head. Okay. Ominous ship. Damaged clock. Bow-legged Sue. Oh, that one caught me.
I remember Bow-Legged Sue.
Yeah, good girl. Yeah. Broken promise. Our last kiss. Distance to empty.
That's pretty cool.
Pensive. Dark starry night. Hula hoop. Bad haircut. Yellow taxi. I hear a song. Parking lot and trees. Wow. One of those almost caused me to choke to death here. So that's a nice array of possibilities. My goodness.
Can we see the bottom again?
Sure, slightly. There you go. There's the bottom. See, can I make that any...
No, we're good. Okay. I've got a couple that I'm interested in.
Okay. Wow. I don't think we need that there. We don't need that there. Thank you. There we go. So this is what we have here.
All right.
Do you want me to read any others again? No,
those are great. I want to claim one.
Oh, good. Okay. Which one do you want to claim?
Black duffel bag.
Black duffel bag. Okay. So you claimed yours.
I will promise to put in somewhere in the story, someone will say, you should have a jar of these, man. I'm not sure how that'll work, but that'll be in there somewhere.
I'm going to pull one for myself. And I think there was one that stood out. There was one that made me choke, but there was another one Well, come on, where is it now?
You liked Yellow Fog Rises. I
yes,
know that.
That was it. That's
because exactly I was writing it down. And you were like, "Oh, I like that." I was like, yes, "I bet you he's going to take Fog that."
Rising, and I think I'm going to grab one more just for the sake of my own reflection. Okay.
All right. So now I definitely, my main choice is Black Duffel Bag. I like the phrase, you should have a jar of these, man. I try and work that in the story. And as a backup, I like the Broken Promises, Our Last Kiss, Distance to Empty. I'm not saying I can put them all in one story, but that's what's on my idea page right now.
Yeah, okay. So, and to keep people, you know, trucking along with us here, Chris and I have talked about, you know, where do ideas come from? And, you know, sometimes we absolutely get ideas the same way. And other times Chris gets ideas from things that he's doing while he's out, you know, walking with his lady, with his wife, wonderful wife, glorious, shopping. And what do you carry with you, Chris?
44 Magnum. No,
help me. Yeah, right.
I like index cards. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm writing on now. Index cards and a pen. I'm an old, you know, old fashioned that way. But also on, you know, there's the pad on your phone. There's usually a recorder on your phone. So any of those things can work. So that's what I tend to do.
Right. And one of the things that I often say is that one should never judge an idea the moment you have it.
No.
Sometimes people think, they'll think of something, oh, that's probably stupid. No. It's an idea, period. Sweet and simple. That's an idea. Jot it down. Don't judge. Because you have no idea. Sometimes something will come to you and you'll go, oh, I know where to go with that. Other times it'll come to you and you just jot it down. And when you go back to it later, it may spur a train of thoughts, a different thought, you know, or you may say, I still don't know what to do with it. But yeah, don't judge them initially. Yeah.
All of these were cool. I don't know why I wrote down the ones I wrote down.
Yeah.
But it's just a gut instinct. Black Duffel Bag. Yeah, I can do something with that. You should have a jar of these, man. It's interesting because just I heard it as dialogue. And yeah. I think that might be the first glimpse of a character that might show up. So I'm not sure where that's going. And then the three, Broken Promises, Our Last Kiss, Distance to Empty. There's both a noir and a romantic feel. And I think maybe, this leads me to the next area I'd like us to talk about, which is at this point, I don't know that you know, but I don't know what kind of story this is going to be. So one of the exercises will be to look at these possibilities. There are no wrong answers here. No. These are just randomly those things clicked, right? So we're going to play with them first. I may, 2 days from now, I may be calling you back and saying, did you screenshot those, that list? I need to look.
These are being recorded. So
we'll just do that. But I will say, okay, how would, say, for example, Black Duffel Bag, how would that work in a Western setting, right? Duffel Bag, the duffel might change, you know, to, you know, Black Saddlebag or something like that, but where would it go, right? Or a crime story. In a romance, in sci-fi, you're taking that duffel bag and you're just popping it in different settings, in different genres, and seeing what happens. You know, horror might have something in here. What's the context, who owns it? These are the questions you start asking.
What you can do also is, it's also how do the words hit you initially, and then what can you do with those words as you contemplate it? So you were talking about the different genres and things you might, you know, pop those into to see how they fit. And my head went, black duffel bag, and then it went duffel, and then it said Duffel Brothers black bag. And so then I started to think of, you know, the same three words, but they started to shift their order.
Right.
You know, and so the Duffel Brothers became thieves in my head, and something was in this black bag. So he's like, sometimes what you, and again, it's not to say that now my way is the way to go.
Right.
It's letting your mind play
right
with the possibilities until you have, you know, like we talk about brain dumping, a sheet of paper, or if you do it on your computer, but I prefer paper, you have all these random spatters and scatters of remarks. And then you look at them and you circle the ones that speak to you, that stimulate your imagination.
I'm going to give you an
idea of where to go. Yeah, what did you say, Chris?
I'm going to give you a different method, a method that I think I'll be employing, the one that I use a lot. I'm going to live with that. And what I mean by that is after this recording, Glorious wants to go to early dinner or late lunch, whatever it's going to be. And I will bring black duffel bag with me. Right now, I don't know where it is. Is it sitting on the floor of a bank? Is it in someone's closet? Is it being carried by somebody? So I get to play, you know? And wherever we go, I don't know, it doesn't make a difference to me where I go, as long as I'm with Glorious. So, you know, if we wind up in a mall, I'm going to be looking around and saying, where would this black duffel bag fit in this mall, in mm-hmm. this restaurant, in this car? And eventually, the black duffel bag is going to start having a personality. It's going to have characteristics, you know. I will put stuff in there or open up the zippers, see what's in there, and just, like you said, play. I don't know whether it's the MacGuffin or whether, you know, it's the end of a mystery or the beginning of a catastrophe. And that's fun.
Enjoy it.
That's a lot of fun. So it'll be a lot in my head, and something will start sticking with it, and maybe a personality or someone, an owner, or a transfer of the bag, you know, the handoff or whatever. Because I think you're going to give me a deadline, we'll have to play with how much time I have to let it live in there and marinate. But that's another option, you know, is to live with it. I'd like to give you one other technique.
Before you do that, I just want to I'm looking at one by Helene Gershwin here. And you see, it says Dark Starry Night. And then her second suggestion is Hula Hoop. And the third one is Bad Haircut. And of those three, I mean, obviously Dark Starry Night is a very strong image that, you know, instantly one might come up with a possible series of scenarios to go with that. But the one that sort of stuck with me was Hula Hoop, because to me, that speaks to an era. It speaks to a particular age of a character. You know, it now begins to allow me to play in a time frame.
Right.
I can maybe see characters of a certain age and another time and a different situation or a different location. So all kinds of things. And part of that is because a hula hoop is from the era in which I was growing up. So it's like if you would say Slinkies or Barbies or cowboy pistols with cap guns, that sort of thing. Those things speak to me 1950s, early 60s. So sometimes a phrase or a combination of words will instantly take you to a time period,
right,
or will make you think of a particular type of character in a particular setting or situation. And again, you play with that. You're not obligated to be brilliant in an instance and suddenly have it all mapped out like that. No, it's these wonderful little pieces that begin to sort of manifest in front of you that make so many things possible. And the joy of seeking that out is part of what keeps, you know, people like Chris and I going.
I will tell you, since you brought all that up, Helene, someone in this story is going to have a bad haircut.
There There you go.
And a Dion Stallworth. Someone is going to be pensive. May be in a yellow taxi, Robert Waters, and they might be in a meeting in a parking lot or hiding in trees. I don't know yet. But
maybe
all
they're
these
hiding
things,
because of a broken promise, Eric Bailey. You know,
there's an index card full of poor handwriting notes.
Yep.
All from that list. I cannot promise that all of it will be used, but I thank you for the things that are inspiring. Tom Snigowski over here.
Tom jumped right in there. Sandra Lynn jumped right in there with Steam Rising Unexpectedly, An Unholy Tangled Mess. That also gives me a setting. Unholy Tangled Mess makes me think of a particular setting for a story. Yeah. So part of this too, and you know,
sounds like memories of my family growing up.
But you know, part of this is very much how these words resonate in your head, what they cause you to think about or envision or wonder about. Like I said, there was a yellow taxi was one of the remarks there. And immediately I'm thinking of Judy Collins. I think it was Judy Collins. A Big Yellow Taxi.
I think it was Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell. You're right. Yeah, right. You know, and then there's Harry Chapin, who also had a taxi. So, you know, there's the words do things. And your job as a writer, as a creative, is to let those words just fascinate you and stimulate you, and then jot down what comes forth and not insist it come forth in order or with everything laid out. Just let that trail begin to reveal itself. And you can come up with so many different possibilities through this. So again, thank you everybody, everybody here who did this. And I think there's another list waiting for me, but everybody who did it, you know, we're going to do something nice for you. I don't know what yet, but one of the things we will do is we'll keep you posted as to where these ideas that we've used take us. All right. Yes. And if you,
so what's the challenge, bro?
Well, here's the challenge. Here's the challenge.
Oh no. I shouldn't have said a word.
You know, this was the challenge, right? Just to discuss this. No, Chris and I are going, cause you said it several times, Chris and I are going to take the phrases that we've chosen, and we're going to develop them into. Now, I had an original idea, and Chris sort of went, I don't know. Well, so now that you've seen it, Chris, maybe you'll feel differently. Chris has had a certain point in his career was a journalist, and I'm thinking, you wrote stories for newspapers and things like that. I've done things like that, but not to the extent that Chris has. I was not working on a newspaper per se. So what I'd like to do is, you know, I think that these words can stimulate either a fictional tale or an article that one might want to write. So if you were going to do something on, let's say, disturbing loud noises, if that was going to be an article, what would that article be about? How would that fit in? And I can think of three different ways I could go with those three words, doing an article that would be relevant.
Right.
But also, I can think of how to use those three words in a fictional tale. So, Chris, your job is to decide what form, what
absolutely need- fiction. There's just it just feels so much to me like there's a lot of fun to be had from this list and just working things in.
Well, then here's your job. Your job is to come up with a fictional short story based on the word or phrasing that you chose.
Okay.
Now,
I will caution
that
more than one of these phrases may show up in this story.
Okay, that's fine. See, originally my idea was you would pick one and riff with that. But if you feel that you can do a jam session and get more than one of those phrases into a story, that's fine.
Cool.
But now, of course, that means I got to do the same damn thing. Thank you very much.
No. We're very different people, and we are going to do whatever comes natural to us. And I'm not promising that I'm going to have a whole list of things in there. If it works when the story's starting to roll, I'm going to have fun.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is, and we're not going to do this whole thing in this one episode, folks. We're going to talk a bit more about how to develop stories based on rudimentary ideas like this, and that'll be for this episode. And then for the next episode, we'll come back with a short story, a rough draft of a short story. Now, let me also be kind, because I know Chris has got Soul Scream Anthologine issue, a volume rather, volume two that you're working on. You're also working on volume three. I know you've got other things on your plate, as
and four.
I, as do I. So when I say short story, I don't mean it has to be a novella or it has to be, you know, 2,500 words. It can be, that's fine. But a short story can also have, there's microfiction.
Right.
So there's 500 words, short story. I think I've often referred to, oh my goodness, just as I started to say it, his name went out of my head. Great, great, great novelist who wrote the short story in six words.
That's,
yes, it is him.
Hemingway.
Thank you. There it goes. Ernest Hemingway. Yes. You know, so
for sale, baby shoes, never used.
Right. Six words. So your short story can certainly be longer than six words for sure. But as I'm saying, it doesn't have to be 5,000 words. It doesn't even have to be 2,500 words, but it's a short story based on some of these words, that some of these stimulating prompts that we've received here today.
Black duffel bag full of baby shoes. No.
It'll be fine. So, Chris, you've picked some words. I've picked some words. Let's let go of this share here so that they can see our faces, the wonderfulness of our faces, a little bit better.
Do you want to hear randomly what's on? I had to fill out both sides. And we'll just, yes. I'll just review it randomly. I have no idea what's going to wind up in there or where it's going to go.
Okay. But
these words just started calling, so I wrote them down. Black duffel bag. It's not even in order, okay?
Right.
Black duffel bag, bad haircut, pensive. Food is love. You should have a jar of these, man. Broken promises. Our last kiss, distance to empty, yellow taxi, parking lot, trees, infected, swelling unnaturally, thicker than water. It won't open. Steam rising unexpectedly. Unholy tangled mess. Cool customers. Disturbingly loud sound. Chocolate ice cream. Chocolate ice cream sound, I wrote down. I don't think that's correct.
Chocolate ice cream soda, I think it was.
Soda, yeah, thank you.
Yeah, chocolate ice cream soda.
Okay, so that's what's here to play with for me. And let's see what happens. I like using index cards. This is just writing the list down. What I usually do is one idea per index card and any notes for that scene or for that character or for whatever. I really like to have too many.
Let me
and
just
then the story.
Let's back that up just so I can be a little bit more clear about what you're saying, because I like that. So you would take like one of chocolate ice cream soda. Let's say that's one of them.
Okay, so then
on one card, yeah.
On the blank side of the index card, I would write, for example, chocolate ice cream soda. And then as ideas for that, let's see if I can get, you can see the lines there.
There you go.
There we go, right? As ideas came related to chocolate ice cream soda, I would fill the line space.
Side of the card, okay.
And I like to have too many ideas. Now, when I'm doing a story or when I'm doing a novel, I'll come up with a big pile of them. And then I tend to get up before anyone else in the house. I'll make a nice cup of tea and I'll clear whatever's on the dining room table. Sometimes it's Glorious's centerpiece. So it's just the table. And I'll put all those cards down and then I move them around.
Which side up?
Usually the blanks, the blank non-line side with just
title
the
side.
Yeah, it's just the reminder. The late great Rich Ramirez used to have just bit reminders for his stand-up routine. He'd have a list of bit reminders. So it's like that. So chocolate ice cream soda would remind me of whatever the notes were collectively. And then I said, oh, that's going to, I'm going to open the story on that. Or that's going to be part of the climax, you know, that whatever it is. So you move them in those order. And then as I'm going through, they're in a rough order, but I don't have the stack in front of me. I'll put that somewhere where I can't see it. And I'll just have one or two, you know, so I'm just, and then I just put that to the side and grab the next one so that it doesn't look overwhelming. It's just a little mental trick for me, a visual trick that, oh, I don't have much to do. Just, I'm going to write this idea. Oh, what's the next thing? Oh, okay. And then we lead into that other mantra of mine, which is let it suck. I don't worry about whether it's great when I'm going from index card to on the screen, right? On the page, right? And just get that rough of the story in. And then I'll go and walk with the dog or follow Glorious around the world or whatever it is, you know, and then come back to it and read it through. And the only goal at that second stage or third stage is to make it suck less. I'm not worried about, I have to show this to Alex yet, you know, or whoever's watching, you know, it's just to make it. And then the third time around on the draft, then I start really, okay, what's the story about? What's the characters? Serve that story, serve that. And that's when things start getting a little lethal, you know, because if suddenly the chocolate ice cream soda is no longer serving the story, it gets thrown right onto the across the counter, you know, it's out of the story. So and until you get it to like, okay, I can show this without having a nervous breakdown. And that'll be the goal. I don't know that it'll be highly polished, but that's where we're going to go. That's what I'm going to try and do.
So I'm going to read the few that perked my interest. Yellow Fog Rising, My Own Reflection, Bow-Legged Sue, Fork Tender, Unholy Tangled Mess, Ominous Ship, and Hula Hoop.
All right, cool. And that Yellow Fog Rising, I think I saw them in concert in the 70s.
Yeah, right. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'll never be able to look at that one the same way again. No. Again, I'm not quite sure where all that's going right now. There's two or three of those phrases that seem to fit organically, but I'm not forcing anything right now. Separately. Chris has always done the index cards, and I honor him for that. For some odd reason, I like doing things in my head first. Mm-hmm. And then I do the sort of the mind map.
Explain mind map a little bit for them.
Absolutely. If I had an example of it, I'm not sure that it's going to show on the screen because, I don't have a proper example. Well, sort of. Mind map, again, never mind. I'll explain it and I'll pull up an example of it later. Mind mapping to me is you take a clean sheet of, you know, either 8.5 by 11 or larger, if you really want to have a good time, or a white dry erase board. And in the center of this clean surface, you put, like you were talking, a chocolate ice cream soda. So I might write chocolate ice cream soda, or I might write yellow fog rising in the middle of this space. And then I just think about that for a few moments. And whatever ideas, whatever thoughts, words, images come to me, I jot them down. I write them down all around this page. I'm not making an organized or catalog list. I am just dropping the words, phrases, images down onto the page as they're coming, not judging them, not questioning them, just jotting them down until nothing else is coming. And so I'm filling up this page with all these what appear to be just random sporadic words. And then I take a moment and I look at this and I realize that, yes, all of these phrases were inspired by that center phrase, but some of them are conjuring up further thoughts. So I circle those and I begin to see which ones begin to connect and stimulate further storyline possibilities or character development possibilities for the Yellow Fog Rising. And that's how I pull it. So you're jotting your ideas on the back of, on the line side of the index card, and I'm just dropping them onto the page and then circling them.
Right.
It's the simpler in some ways, not as, yours is much more organized, I think, in that you have.
I have fooled you yet again.
No, but I'm saying you have yours, I have mine on a big page, you have yours on the index cards.
Right.
You know,
and you know, you say tomato, I say tomato.
Tomato,
you
know, yes. Let's call
it. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter how you bake the cake.
Yeah.
You know,
what we both do is we both allow ourselves, and we use this word even last episode, we both allow ourselves to play with ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, we do not give them more responsibility than they deserve.
Right.
At that time, you know, and in doing that, you allow yourself more permission to explore and experiment. And as Chris says, to let whatever that first draft of, you know, sentences, phrases, dialogue, whatever it's going to be, let it suck. Mm-hmm. It does not have to be anything other than thoughts from your head to the page or the screen. That's all it needs to be.
Damn, Skippy.
We'll do a peanut butter commercial right here. Okay. So what Chris and I will do is we will, using this methodology that we've just explained to a certain degree, we will use this and a few other steps following that to develop our plot, the characters, the sequence of events, and somewhere in that process, and I'm not going to speak for Chris, but somewhere in that process, the theme of the story that we're working on will begin to reveal itself. And that will help us hone in on where we want to go from beginning to end.
I agree with you. Even as we're sitting here, there is a tug of war going on in the cranium so between two very different existing characters, each trying to get to wrest control of these list of words for their own story. I do not know who will win. They might both get disqualified. It might be complete strangers I haven't met yet. But again, that's part of the fun.
You know what's even more fun? I haven't closed the Facebook page. People are still adding prompts. I love it.
Reserve the right to sneak and check on those.
Yeah.
And steal some extra words. But
you know what we may make these somehow useful as a game for TTDS, for Tell the Damn Story, for our listeners. Well, we're thinking about this, you know. But this is a fun thing to do, you know. And if nothing else, it's also a great exercise. I mean, I think I told you, Chris, during 2021, I had the feeling that I had not been writing enough.
Right.
I just could feel myself sort of atrophying in certain ways. Mm-hmm. And so I gave myself a challenge that I would write a short story every month for a year.
Right.
And it wasn't I'm not going to write a short story. I didn't promise to write a short story that would be published, you know, just that I would write a short story every month for 12 months. And I did do that. And some of them, boy, did they suck when I first started. Some of them.
That's okay.
Oh, this is actually pretty cool. Yeah. But either way, the job was to write a story every month. And I did do that. You challenged me to start editing those.
Right.
I managed to get through two.
That's okay.
Okay, but I in doing that, you gave me the interest of going back and, yes, refining them, editing them, and bringing them to some sort of fruition. So my goal is that by the fall of this year, I will have gone through all of them, and probably, if you don't mind, I might shoot them your way to get some feedback from you on them. But either way, by the end of this year, they will be suitable for the public. I'm not saying I'll publish them, but if I were going to publish them, they would be suitable for other people to read.
Excellent. Let me ask you a question. Since you mentioned this, you mentioned that, you know, we said some of them, we let it suck, right? Some of them, early drafts, they suck. And sometimes they've, some of them seem pretty good. Okay, so in your experience, which one do you have to worry about more? The one that sucks in the beginning or the one that feels, oh, that's really very good?
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever thought about it like that, but...
That's why I'm here, sir.
Yeah, since you prompted that question, I don't know that I feel nervous or secure with a situation like that. I think that if something feels pretty good all the way through, it means I better review it a number of times to make sure, you know?
Definitely.
If there's no real challenge there, it's just, well, yeah, well, maybe the muses are being kind and they're letting this one be an easy one, but I better look at this one really, really carefully.
Yeah. I agree with you. I tend to go, I get more concerned and go over more carefully ones that seem, oh, that's great.
You know, one of the ones that felt like that, that I went over a couple of times and wish I could have gone over like maybe a couple more times, the Christmas Story I did for you.
One.
Was it for Soul Screen? The Christmas issue?
Right.
With the two women in the situation that they were in? The three women. Right. That one, the idea came to me and I started writing it, and I was writing it from, you know, sometimes you write, and this is, again, people, part of the process. Sometimes you have an idea and you're writing it from, let's say the plot is stronger in your head than the characters at some point. So you're writing the plot clear that you've got to go back and do some serious work on the characters, make sure everything measures up. Right. But with that one, I was writing it more from, it was almost like the characters were telling me their story. And I had to sort of kind of make sure that the plot held together. But it was more of an emotional writing experience for me. I was writing from that place of fear and so forth that they were going through. And so when I was writing it, because I was feeling certain emotions through these characters, I felt like, okay, this is authentic. And it was then after the rough draft / first draft that I was going back through and I said, okay, wait a minute. Oh, I dropped that here. Oh no, that this has to connect to this, right? So doing that. And then I went, oh, okay. So that, wait a minute, that kind of works, but I'm not sure if, did I do services? And so it was like going back, and I'd been writing from the women's point of view, and the two men in there had got shortchanged.
Right.
And so then I had to go back, and one of them was hard for me to connect to because a part of me didn't want to.
Well, I mean, that's when you have to use your acting chops, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying. When I finally sent that in, because we had a deadline, there was a part of me going, yeah, I probably should have gone over that like 2-3 more times. You know?
Yeah. That's for just for people to say, well, I'd like to see that. That's from a teaser we did. It's kind of like if this Soul Scream is issue one or volume one, that Soul Scream, Come All Ye Faithless, is issue zero. Yeah. Right? And there's I'm in there, you're in there, Teal James Glenn and Carol Geisander. So,
and you released that, what was it?
December. Yeah. And it's still available. It's, you know, it's
on Amazon.
It's on Amazon. Yeah. Okay. So now there's two Soul Scream titles on the Amazon, soon to be three, and then four, and then five. Oh my God. There we go.
But anyway, that's to some degree that process I'll explore, you know, with this too. I don't know if I'll be writing, because again, just like you, these are words right now, and there are like little bubbling concepts playing in my head, but I don't know where that's going to take me yet. But it may be that I'll be writing more from the character's POV than from the plot point of view, or it might be plot over characters, and then I have to go back and again find balance.
Well, that might be something that kind of as a we're gearing towards wrap up, it seems. But how does that happen for you? Is you know, Chicken or the egg? Do you consciously say, well, no, this is going to be a plot-oriented, plot-driven story, or this is going to be character-driven? Or does it happen organically for you?
When I write mystery stories, I tend to consciously start out with plot. I might, be inspired by a character, a villain or victim, and think, ooh, what would this character deal with or go through or feel or want to do? But then I have to plot out the storyline because it's a mystery story and I need to know what happens when and how and why so that I can also make sure clues and things are revealed in a proper order and so forth. But when I'm writing like an adventure story or a comedy or something like that, a lot of the times it's, okay, the plot is this. What kind of characters? And I find myself organically thinking about the characters first and who inhabits this world?
Yeah.
And what would be fun, interesting, threatening, dangerous, whatever, and I sort of approach it from that. And I don't know, and this is something, that I don't feel compelled to know, actually, but it is a curiosity at times. I started out as a child, I just loved stories. And it was just, I loved to watch stories and things like that. I would read comic books like crazy. And occasionally, like every now and then, I'd like gobble down books from the library, usually mystery stories or adventure stories. And then you couldn't get me near a library for months, right?
Right.
I was always reading comics. But then I had these action figures that I would make up stories with, right? And then in my teens, I became interested in performing. So by the time I graduated high school, I actually started pursuing acting. So it was a certain about 10 years or so of my life where I was really an actor, a professional actor. Yes.
Who you then can see started... those. Those are in the famous silent movie era.
Yeah, I'm going to hurt you. As soon as this episode's over, you're dead meat. But anyway, I started writing monologues and dialogues for scenes as an actor that I wanted to do. And then that got me more into writing. And eventually I began to do more writing of articles and stories and things like that. So I don't know if, I said all that to say this, I don't know if maybe my natural attraction to the characters comes from the fact that I also approach things as an actor, or there's a part of me that thinks character first because of portraying that sort of thing. Who knows? Is it imperative that I know? No, it's not. As long as it makes sense creatively, as long as I'm not favoring one over the other or at the cost of the other. I know that the plot and the story structure has to work so that the characters can do their thing and we can give the audience what they want and a satisfactory experience. And I also feel that no matter how great the plot is, if we don't give a damn about the characters, most of the time, people aren't even going to follow the plot. That's just right. It. What we go to watch is as we talked about this last week, we go to watch Indiana Jones go through the things he goes through. Yes, right. It's exciting to see the shootouts and the chase scenes and all that, but we can see that anywhere. It's what happens to him and how do the characters he's dealing with deal with that. That's really the compelling draw. And Top Gun, Mavericks, it's Tom Cruise's character that people are going, and the other characters that people are following through that story. Yeah, the jets look cool. The flight scenes are magnificent. Let's hear it for the stunt people. But without the story and these characters, it's just so much stunt and special effects.
True. I agree. You can't, all of that stuff has to serve, or it's just a fireworks show. Fourth of July fireworks, really cool to see. You just remember the sparkle, the light.
Yeah, but they don't need
that. No one's moved. An ooh or an ah, but it doesn't go into your soul or seep into your brain and maybe make you think about things. I released a Substack newsletter. It's really just an article a week. So it's out currently. And it ties in because the headline is "Enough About Me." Here's Laurel Hightower, and it was I'm minding my own business, going through the social media, and Todd Kiesling said, "Everybody, you should read this story like right now. And there was a link. That was an intriguing hook for me. And I read the story. And the story is about, it's a horror story, but it's about something that women hate being told.
Mm.
And I knew that women hate being told that. But this story changed how I feel about that.
Mm.
It is, and it the link is in at the end of what I write. So
where is that?
It's on Substack. You can, the link is to the Substack is on my Twitter, my
you want to drop a link so I can maybe pop it?
Just go to Chris Ryan Writes on, or Chris Ryan Author, or Soul Screen on Facebook. It's in my social media and you can find it, hit the link, and then hey, if you want to read the 6 paragraphs I wrote or something, and then there's the link. But man, talk about effective storytelling and delivering a truth in a demonstrative, dramatic, suspenseful, absorbing way so that it gets in under your skin. Colonel Hightower does that in spades with this story.
Cool beans.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's cool. Well, it's cool. So, you know, there's something to keep people busy while we're trying to figure out what the hell we're going to write.
Yes, with yellow fog rising on my own reflection, bowed leg, Sue, fork, tender, unholy, tangled mess, ominous ship, and hula hoops. Yes.
that sounds like some college poetry right there.
Okay, Chris. We'll be back with the next episode, and you folks will get to see what we do or did or done did.
Next episode will be kind of like a reading.
Yeah. Yes. Huh? It will be kind of like, which we've done in the past too. And so, hey, we're remaining true to form. Meanwhile, let us know your comments, thoughts, feelings, you know, expectations.
Oh.
If you want.
Cheer us on. That would be cool.
Yeah, that would be nice. Please do. Yeah, let us know what you think. Okay? Chris?
Thanks, everybody.
Take care, everybody.
Have fun.
Oh, very important, yes.